And so I thought I would start by kind of explaining to you some of the things I learned about South Africa. So I got there, and it is probably one of the most beautiful countries you've ever seen. They have sugarcane fields everywhere. So as you're driving, you're just surrounded by hills of sugarcane, and it's very green. It was summertime there. It was going into summertime there, so I had to figure out a whole new wardrobe. It was wonderful. And so as you're driving, I noticed this from the moment that I first got there, and we were driving back to the house that I was going to be staying at. And you notice that there are shanty towns, which are, they're probably more like tin structures. Everything is kind of built on top of each other. And there are people that live in those shanty towns. And then as you keep going, you'll notice that there are like huge communities of, they're like estates that people also live in. So it's like one extreme to the other. And that was kind of crazy because it was almost like something you would see here also. You know, you have your lower income areas and then you have your higher income areas. And so it was very similar in that aspect. I don't think I really expected it to be that similar. And then I noticed that there are three different people groups. So you have your Indian population, which the Indian population was brought in because whenever the English settled in South Africa, they decided to do the sugarcane fields. Well, they just expected the Africans to work in the sugarcane fields for them. And the Africans were like, no. So what they did is they imported Indians over from India to come and work in the sugarcane fields, and they paid them and all that stuff. So there's a huge Indian population, and they're probably like third or fourth generation South African. And then you have your Afrikaans, which are the English that settled there originally and that have now grown up there, and they have their own language, which is Afrikaans. And then you have the Africans that have been there this entire time, and they are and they speak Zulu, which Zulu is their native language. And they actually just recently went through apartheid, which is similar to what we went through in our civil war, but they recently went through it in 1994. So it's very recent, so you still notice that things are kind of divided there, which was very interesting to get used to because, you could see that they're collectively starting to come together more and stuff like that. I just learned a lot of interesting stuff. I'm sorry if that was kind of boring, but I just thought that it's just really cool because as I was going through, I just noticed that it's very similar to kind of our culture. So at some points, I didn't really like realize that I was in Africa at certain points because they have malls, they have grocery stores, they have, their houses are pretty normal. The only difference is they drive on the wrong side of the road, which that took me a little bit to get used to. I remember I went to go sit in the front seat and I was like, so I'm sitting in the driver's side, but I'm not driving. And they were like, exactly. And I was like, no, this is not right. And so there was some stuff that took a little bit of getting used to. I got to stay with the missionary family that I was working with, and they're really good friends of my family, actually. And I didn't really know them very well. My dad knew them better than I did, but I got to know them very well. Living with somebody will do that to you. I actually got to help them move because they were moving from a house to an apartment to kind of downsize because one of their daughters is about to go off to college. So I got to do that in Africa, which was kind of crazy. But I also got to experience some really cool and exciting things. I got to go on a safari, which was really cool. I got to see some amazing animals. I got to hear a lion roar, which was pretty awesome. I have a video of it if any of you want to see it at some point. We were about from me to that door to the lion, and it was nighttime, and they shine a red light on the lion because lions can't see red. And so they were shining red light so we could see him, and he was a very lazy lion. And he, I don't know if he was annoyed that we were there and wanted us to leave, and so he just let out this huge roar. It went on for about probably a minute and a half, and I have it on video, and it was shaking the car that we were in, because it was just so, it like came from deep inside of him. He was very angry, I guess, and that was pretty awesome. I got to see cheetahs and rhinos, and I got to see some Impala. It was just a really cool experience. I could have just ridden out there for hours and just, it was awesome. I got to do this really cool thing that I was asked to share. I got to cage dive with sharks, which was probably the coolest thing I've ever done. I happen to be a huge shark enthusiast. I love them. They're probably my favorite animal, which I know is very odd. but I got to jump in a cage and be around them. I got a really cool video of it, and it was amazing. It was. I'm so happy I did it, and now I want to do it again and again and again. So maybe next time without the cage. I know that's a little scary, but I think that'd be super cool. But I would say that my favorite part about going to South Africa was the people. I got to meet some incredible people. I worked with a church there, and I got to know a lot of the team that they have there. And so they just got this building, I would say probably about a year ago, is when they moved into their building, the facility that they are in now. And I think that they've been a church for maybe a year and a half, I want to say. And they have a good team of missionaries around them. So they have, I want to say, 3 full-time missionaries that are working with them at this church. And then they have 3 MAs, which are missionary associates, who help them out. And their term is shorter. So missionaries' terms are 4 years. And then the MA's terms are only 2 years. There's actually one missionary associate who actually tagged on another year to her stay because she wanted to keep working there. She was actually in charge of their youth. And so the first thing that I did there ministry-wise was I got to help out with their youth, which that was pretty cool. It was interesting at first because I'm not used to working with youth. I work more with the small children at my church, and so youth are a completely different animal. That was a little bit to get used to because it's been a while since I've been around kids that age, and things are different. Even though I'm not that old, but things change, and so it was really cool though. By the end of it, I spent 6 youth services with them, and my last youth service was the Christmas party. That they had, and it was probably the most fun, and I really got to like bond with those kids, and I got to, you know, learn more about them. I got to get to know a lot of them, and I know that the missionary's daughter in the house that I was staying in, me and her got really close. She's 15, and she would go with me on a lot of stuff. Her parents would let her go with me when I was like wanting to explore some things and stuff like that. And she went cage diving with me. I convinced her. She wasn't a big fan of it at first, but I got her and she had a blast. And I got to know her really well and their family. And I was a part of their family for 6 weeks, which 6 weeks is a long time. And I got to know them and work with them. And I mean, I basically became a 5th member of their family. They included me in a lot of things, and it was kind of wonderful just because I didn't expect that. They didn't have to do that for me. You know, I was short term. I wasn't there for very long, but they really included me in a lot of things. And that was really incredible. And the missionaries I was staying with, the, Alicia is her name, and she's the, she's Adam's wife, which they're the missionaries, and she's also in charge of the kids ministry. So I worked with them every single Sunday. I was up in the kids area, and they do 2 services. So I was back to back up in there in kids, and I got to, and she is amazing at what she does. Amazing. I think that she has led so many kids to Christ through her ministry, and you can see that she loves it, and you can see that the kids love it, like the joy on their faces whenever they're up there and they're singing the songs and they're learning about God and they're enjoying it, you know, like they're engaged. They know what you're talking about. They're willing to listen. She does this this thing called a sword drill with the Bible, and so the kids, it helps the kids to learn where all of the books of the Bible are in the Bible. And they all can do it pretty well. They probably can find a book of the Bible better than I can. Like they just know, and because they've been taught, you know, they keep being taught, and so they. And it's amazing, like it really is. And so what they do is, so after she does her main lesson, they do small groups. And so they'd have the kids break up into their ages. And I got to lead some of those small groups and get to know the kids. And that was just really cool for me because I got to engage with them. I actually got to, you know, talk to them. I actually got to hear, you know, like if they learned something about Christ, if they, you know, what they learned, what they talked about. I actually had this little girl. It was my last Sunday there. I was flying out that night, and her name was Erin. And she came up to me and she said, "Why do you have to leave?" And I said, "Well, I want to go spend Christmas with my family." And she goes, "Okay, but you just have to be back in January, okay?" So, and I, you know, and that was, it's cool because I guess whenever you're there for that short amount of time, you don't expect yourself to make that big of an impact. But, you know, these kids, I actually got to know them, and that was really cool. I got to work on this thing that they have there. It's called First Thursday. And so it's a huge citywide thing. And so what they do is they do markets. So if you, they do them like every weekend, like for Christmas, they do a market for, I mean, they don't have 4th of July or Thanksgiving. Maybe they do a Halloween market, stuff like that. And so they do it often, very often. And it's kind of like, it's almost like their main source of shopping, I would say. They do have malls and stuff like that, but markets are where you can get more authentic things, handmade things, stuff like that. Like, people won't go and purchase a storefront. Instead, they'll just do all these markets, and that's how they sell their product. They do this First Thursday, which is an outreach to get more people to come to their church. And so they did it in their church, and I helped out with that, and it was a Christmas market. And so you had food vendors, you had, like, people selling clothes, you know, there's people selling Christmas trees. It was really cool. I got to help out a lot with that, and just the people that came through and got to see the church, got to meet the people involved, and there was, like, live music that we had. And all this stuff. It was the coolest thing because, you know, we don't really do a lot of that stuff here. That's not really how we think about getting people to church, is do a market. Like, that's kind of odd. But there, it's kind of like their livelihood. That's what they do. And so, like, so you have a lot of people that are used to signing up for these markets. And so whenever we advertised that we had one, we had a lot of people that were like, "Yeah, hey, I would love to do your market." And that gets people into the church, which is kind of amazing. And I guess they had, at this market, they had the most people that they've ever had come to a market. I want to say that they had only been doing it for a couple of months, and they do it every other month. It was just amazing. It was really cool because to see, I worked really hard. I got to help them set things up and all that. And just to see kind of like the fruits of that were incredible. It's weird because it's hard for me to explain how I felt about it, because I know that leaving was probably the hardest thing I've ever done, leaving, saying goodbye to everybody, just because I feel like I connected well with so many people. I got to know, a lot of the, we had a Friendsgiving, because they don't have Thanksgiving there, but we wanted to celebrate Thanksgiving. And so we had a Friendsgiving, and we invited a bunch of people from the church that they're really good friends with over to their house, and we all made food, and I got to know those people really well. I got to know, you know, their families. I got to know their way of life, you know, and it started to become my normal, you know. I got to, you know, I wake up, I do this, and coming back was probably the hardest thing, because I didn't know what the normal was going to be again. Like, I didn't. I was so used to that, and I loved every second of it. Like, it was life-changing for me. I know I keep saying this, but it was the people. Like, it wasn't about the cool things I got to do were really cool, but the people had the most impact on me. The people that I was with, to see them and the way that they work and the way that they gave up everything to go to South Africa and to minister to people, you know, and I know that they get a lot of criticism because South Africa is almost just like the United States, I would say. Obviously there are times that you do realize that you are in Africa. But like the stuff they have, that it's not out in the middle of nowhere. They don't have to live in a hut or anything like that. Like it's very typical, but those people need Jesus just as much as anybody else. And the way that they are too, they're kind of almost, I would say, post-Christian, I would probably say, is because a lot of them, because of the way that it is there. They don't feel like they need anything. They have what they need. It's almost like a European mindset to where they're like, I'm good. Why do I need this Jesus person you're talking about? Like, I can go, I got my cell phone. I can go get a laptop. Like, I got all the clothes I need. Like, I don't need any of that. Like, I'm good. And so I feel like it's almost harder in those places because there's not a need. They don't feel like they need anything. And so you see these people, and I know that they struggle with criticism because of where they are. But they gave up their entire lives to come to this place and to share and to minister. And I know that it's not easy. And I know that some of the customs that they have to get used to, it's not easy. Like, they, for their building, they have to get special consent in order to even hang up a picture on the wall because it's not theirs yet. So because of they're almost renting it. And so they can't even knock down walls. They can't make it. It used to be an old bike dealership. Is that the right bike dealership? It sounds fine. So they're I know that they go through a lot of stuff and that they're struggling, but just getting to know them and to minister to these people and these kids and the youth and all of that stuff, it was just incredible. I really feel like I just keep repeating myself because it really has been hard for me to explain. Like, people ask me, like, how was it? And I'm like, it was incredible. I don't know what else to say because, like, it's all just, like, in my head. Like, it's kind of like an explosion of just, like, happiness. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't expect it to be like it was because I was going by myself, which was terrifying for me. I had to run through a lot of airports. I spent maybe 15 minutes in London the first time around because I just got to my plane. I sat down for 5 seconds, and then they were calling me to board, which was insane. I lost my luggage on the way back. It took like 3 days for it to get back to me, which was a little stressful. And all of that stuff, like, it still was probably one of the best experiences of my life. And I struggle with anxiety. I don't know if I told you guys that the last time I was here. And I just expected myself to kind of be a mess, like, while I was over there. Like, I miss my dogs. I miss my family. But I was at peace. I really was. I didn't really struggle with homesickness as much as I thought I would. I didn't, you know, I haven't, like, Thanksgiving Day was a really hard day for me, just being away from my family. First time ever I've been away from my family on Thanksgiving. And that was a hard day. But other than that, It was just incredible. Like, I keep saying that, I'm sorry. But it really was. It best experience ever, and I would do it again in a heartbeat, and I miss it, actually, like, a lot. I see things from there. I've been talking to some of the people from there, and it makes me really emotional. Just because, I mean, when people impact you that much, it's almost just like, how do I go on without them now? Like, you know? So, anyway, but I do want to say thank you to you guys. You guys really helped me, and I know that you guys didn't have to do that. You guys didn't know me, but you guys really made a difference for me, and I was really worried about this experience and really worried about how I was going to get everything done that I needed to get done before I left, and you guys played a huge role in that, and you were the reason why I got to go and my life was changed. And I just want to say thank you. It was wonderful, and I could not have done it without you guys, and you guys inviting me here, inviting me to share, inviting me to talk about this. It means a lot. And so I just want to say thank you. And I think that is all that I got. So if you have any questions... It was actually kind of crazy because it, like I said, when they went through the apartheid, so things had been really separated, but they actually had a lot of different cultures come together in the church. So they had the Afrikaans, they had Zulu, and they also had Indian. I would say that their biggest population is probably the Indians. But they're all there together, which was, it's kind of amazing because you don't think of it, because for us, that would happen a long time ago. I mean, obviously we still have struggles, but for them, it was so recent that their struggles are more prominent. Like, it's a bigger deal, that they, when they come together, because it just wasn't like that. And so it was a little bit of everybody whenever they did that, which was incredible. So, yeah. Anyway. I want to so bad. It's actually funny. So they have this candy there that's called Fizzers. And Fizzers are, they sound like they're supposed to be fizzy, but they're not. They're just kind of like a Laffy Taffy. And so I brought some home because I liked them. And so on Friday, actually, I ate the last one. And so my dad handed it to me. He goes, "This is the last one." And I said, "Okay, well, I guess that just means we have to go get more." And he said, "Okay." So I really want to go back. I told the missionaries they have 2 more years left in their term. And I want to get back before they leave again for their itineration to come back to raise more money. And so that's my goal, is to get back before then. So, yeah, not sure about anything long-term yet. Still trying to work through that. But it was, yeah, I want to go back, like, tomorrow. But that's not going to happen. So, so, yeah. Anyway, anything else? Yes? Yes. So I believe that it's mostly Zulu. But I do think that they're, so the way that I want to say there's a place called Phoenix, which is weird that it's not in Arizona, it's there, but it's almost like a suburb of Durban. So I was in Durban. I spent a lot of time in Umhlanga, which is a suburb of Durban as well. But Phoenix it's considered where most of the Indians live. And then I want to say that the shanty towns, I think that it could be a good mix, but I think it's mostly Zulu. And it's weird because you'll see a lot of them have to walk to work. They do have buses, and transport. They're called Kumbis. They're a taxi, they're a van, and they are the worst drivers in the history of ever. They're terrifying, and they can stop in the middle of anywhere, and they'll pick people up. Like, you could just be in the middle of the highway, and they'll stop to pick someone up, because people walk along the side of the highways. And they ask to get picked up, and it's funny, they have their own kind of language to where they'll hold up, like, a three, which means that they want three stops to go until they get to where they need to be. Or they'll hold up a two or a five or whatever, and that's the kind of people know, oh, okay, this person needs stop three, so I'm going that way, so I'll pick them up. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, and so they have, like, walking bridges everywhere. You'll see them walking in the highway. They cross the highway, which is terrifying. But they're fearless. They don't care. If you hit them, they get paid. Like, I don't know. Like, they so yeah, so it's kind of it's crazy, but it's, yeah. So yeah. Anything else?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The church that's there, are mm-hmm. they sustained by support from other places, or are they semi sustained by the people going to the church?
So it's kind of a mixture. So to get started, so they are called North Place Church in Durban. So they have in Dallas, there's a church called North Place Church. And that church is kind of the one that kind of originally funded them and kind of started everything. I don't know if they still get funded by them. I know all the missionaries raise their own support. So all the missionaries are paid by their supporters, which are churches. And so that's what their itineration period is for. It's usually a year, and they'll go and they'll be invited to churches to speak, and those churches will say, okay, well, I'm going to support you for $50 a month. And so I know all the missionaries are supported, but I do know that they do tithe at the church. So I do know that they are supported by the people that attend, which is good. I'm not entirely sure. I do know that the building that they got, the rent is quite a bit of money. So I do know that it is hard for them sometimes to keep that up, just because I don't think that I don't think South Africans are very used to tithing or giving a certain percentage of what they make, and so I think that that's kind of been a little bit of a struggle. But there, I don't know if the church in Dallas still contributes money at some points or what. I do know that the church in Dallas does have a team coming in February to see them and to see what they're doing there. So, but I'm not sure what that would entail. So, yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Cool. Okay, well, thank you guys.